RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello listeners, welcome back to our English program over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by Voi Green and News in Brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. To conclude our program for today, we'll present to you our daily segment Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news. First, the headlines. The Indonesian government encourages the Malaysian and the Philippines government to make agreement on the SOP of petrol ship. The General Elections Commission KPU sends letter to President to replace Husni Kamil. Pertamina to sign agreement with National Iranian Oil Company this month. Now the news in detail. The Indonesian government encourages the Malaysian and the Philippines government to make agreement on the standard operational procedure of patrol ship on the sea zone where the Philippines militant group Abu Sayyaf often operates. Indonesia and Malaysia are always affected by the kidnapping of the two country citizens as this group always asks for ransom. Defense Attaché of the Indonesian Embassy in Malaysia, Colonel Iwan Bambang, said the Indonesian government seriously responds the kidnapping of Indonesian citizens by Abu Sayyaf. Besides encouraging the operation of patrol ships, Indonesia encourages security in Sulu Sea Zone. If this agreement is made, Indonesia will deploy its defense personnel, particularly the Indonesian Navy Force, through warship to keep prone areas.
Mudah-mudahan lah minggu depan ini dengan kehadiran
hopefully next week, three defense ministers will meet in Kuala Lumpur and they will sign agreement so that we can operate to secure Sulu Sea. The Indonesian Navy Force will certainly operate the warships. Technically, we cannot tell it in detail, but Indonesian warships will be there. Colonel Iwan Bambang said military operation in the Philippines by the Indonesian military TNI cannot be done due to permit from the Philippines government as it violates sovereignty border of a country. Therefore, the Indonesian government encourages tripartite cooperation to be realized soon in order to keep security around Sulu Sea. Acting Chairman of the General Elections Commission KPU Hadar Nafis Gumai said that the Commission will send a letter to the Indonesian President Joko Widodo regarding the vacant position of the Commission's Chairman following the death of the Chairman of the General Elections Commission, Husni Kamil Manik. On Tuesday, July 12, Hadar Nafis Gumai explained that based on Law No. 15, year 2011, the vacant position should be filled soon. The law mentioned that the members of the General Elections Commission are 7 people, neither more nor less than that. Thus, if there is any member who does not meet requirements or died, the member should be added again into 7.
Kemarin juga di dalam pleno sudah memutuskan bahwa akan menulis surat kepada presiden.
On Monday, in a plenary meeting, we decided to write a letter to the president that Husni Kamil Manik died. Secondly, we wrote about the needs of a new member to fill the vacant position. The president has had material based on the result of fit and proper test, and the president will make decision and inaugurate the new member. According to plan, the letter will be sent next week. Hadar Nafis Gumai was officially selected as the acting chairman on Tuesday, July 12, through deliberation and decision in the commissioner plenary meeting. Hadar will become acting chairman until the definitive commission's chairman is selected on Monday, July 18. The definitive commission's chairman is needed to sign the commission's regulation and budget. Indonesian Ambassador to Egypt Helmi Fauzi encourages Indonesian university students in Egypt to unity as Indonesian citizens in Egypt. Helmi Fauzi reminded Indonesian university students in Egypt not stuck in primordial bond in Egypt like the era before youth pledge.
Tapi sudah barang tentu ini harus kita juga dorong ke arah persatuan dengan kelompok-kelompok mahasiswa yang lainnya.
We should encourage these to unity with other university students from Indonesia. Do not be like the era before youth pledge when the youth were divided in Young Java, Young Celebes, Young Sumatra. According to Helmi Fauzi, he understands if Indonesian university students in Egypt are active in particular groups with family or regional bonding. However, Helmi Fauzi reminded Indonesian university students in Egypt build and keep social bond with the whole Indonesian nation abroad. Pertamina President Director Dwi Sucipto said Indonesia state-owned energy company Pertamina will sign a memorandum of understanding with the national Iranian oil company this month as part of its strategy to meet its lifting target by 2030. That will allow Pertamina to evaluate and assess up to 4 Iranian oil blocks. Pertamina has yet to choose which blocks to explore. According to the company's upstream director, Samsu Alam, being in a premature stage, Pertamina does not have any definitive plans yet, but the company is mulling the acquisition of a 100% stake in the blocks and operating them. Pertamina targets to produce an additional 162,000 barrels of oil equivalent per day next year by acquiring new blocks. The Indonesian Agriculture Ministry's quarantine agency head, Bandun Harpini, said that his institution and the Indian government were in the process of finalizing the quarantine protocol in relation to the buffalo meat importation plan to Indonesia. According to Bandun, the Indonesian government has requested a guarantee from the Indonesian government that buffalo meat to be shipped to Indonesia will meet the requirements. Bandun explained that his institution still focused on buffalo meat import from India. He predicted that the quarantine protocol would be finalized by the end of this month. In addition, the buffalo meat would not be shipped in the near future. He revealed that the government has appointed the state logistics agency Bulog as the importer of buffalo meat. In response to a question about the entrance of the buffalo meat, Bandun said that he could not confirm it yet. According to him, the quarantine agency's authority was limited to the risk management. The Indonesian government will allow secondary cut beef import licenses to be more widely accessible following industry complaints regarding the government's earlier policy to only grant permission for 10 merchants to buy 23,200 secondary cuts from abroad. The Indonesian Agriculture Minister Amran Sulaiman said Tuesday at the ministry after holding a meeting with importers that the ministry plans to open licenses for secondary cuts and in North as long as these imports are free from foot and mouth disease or FMD. Until recently, the government had been the only party with a license. 90% of secondary cut import will be distributed in Jakarta, Bogor, Depok, Tangerang, and Bekasi area, Amran added. The last item, Indonesian Social Affairs Minister Kofifah Indar Parawansa said the migration of village residents to urban areas after the post-fasting festivities or Lebaran is a normal phenomenon. The post-Lebaran urbanization Kofifah added is in accordance with the push and pull theory, as homebound travelers from big cities to villages tell their success stories to villagers who are then encouraged to migrate to big cities. She clarified that it is all right to let people migrate and urbanization to happen as long as they have the capability and skills that they can use in cities. If they have no skills or special capability, the minister suggested that villagers should first undergo certain courses to equip themselves to live in cities. It has been a common practice for city workers or dwellers going to village to celebrate the Lebaran festivities and returning to cities with one or several friends in tow, all set to try their luck. A study has revealed that every year after Lebaran, the population of Jakarta increases by 100,000 newcomers. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. The Indonesian government encourages the Malaysian and the Philippines government to make agreement on the SOP of petrol ship. The General Elections Commission KPU sends letter to President to replace Husni Kamil. Pertamina to sign agreement with National Iranian Oil Company this month. That was the news.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, is holding VOI International Quiz 2016 with the main prize, having a holiday in Indonesia. Indonesia, an amazing country, the world's largest archipelagic country, where you can find a lot of wonderful things. Indonesia, a beautiful place with natural cultural diversity, along with its friendly people. All of this will impress you for good. Are you dreaming of visiting Indonesia? Make your dream come true by joining VOI International Quiz 2016. You may be the lucky one to visit the wonderful Indonesia for free. Answer these following questions. 1. What is the capital city of Indonesia? 2. What is your favorite program? 3. Tell us briefly what you know about Voice of Indonesia. Please send your answer along with your personal data, passport number, and expiry date of your passport to voiquiz2016@gmail.com. voiquiz2016@gmail.com before August 1st, 2016. Welcome to Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with commentary, and today's commentary is on True Peace Yet to Come in South Sudan. On July the 9th, 5 years ago, South Sudan was formally established as a sovereign state after separating from Sudan. But peace, which is the dream of the people in the country, has not yet materialized. Earlier this week, until Monday alone, more than 270 people were killed in Juba, capital of South Sudan, as a result of fighting between the troops under the leadership of President Salva Kiir with rebels who were loyal to former Vice President Riek Machar. Battle also occurred in Gudel area, where the rebel leader, who is also the Vice President Riek Machar, residing. The dispute began on Thursday evening, July the 7th. 5 soldiers were killed in a clash with supporters of Vice President Riek Machar at a checkpoint in Juba. After the 5th anniversary of South Sudan, there was a clash in a wider scale between the two camps. This is actually a continuation of the civil war that has been going on since December 2013. Lack of commitment to create peace from both Salva Kiir and Riek Machar has created conditions in South Sudan far from being conducive. Salva Kiir accused Riek Machar of plotting a coup to his government. Nearly a year ago, in August, the two parties have agreed to end the fighting and conflict and form a unity government. But all it was a deal on paper. The reality on the ground is conflict still continues, whereas 3 months before, the two sides still agreed to sit down to form the pause of peace. In addition to the former rebel militia, the army of South Sudan is also facing attacks from forces of Ali Tamil Fartak, a militia leader who wants to establish an Islamic state in the west of South Sudan. Members of his troops are mostly Muslims and, interestingly, Christian militias of former Lord's Resistance Army, which was the strongest forces fighting for the independence of South Sudan. Ali Tamim Fartak, who is also an ex-Lord's Resistance Army forces, frequently crossed the Ugandan border in the east of the country and caused mischief in the neighboring country. The UN reported that due to the crisis in South Sudan, at least thousands of people had to leave their homes. The UN Security Council held a closed meeting to discuss the latest fighting in Juba. The UN urged leaders in South Sudan to commit to ending the conflict, which began in 2013. 5 years passed. On July the 9th, 2016, there was no celebration of joy. There was even a battle. According to the Information Minister Michael Makuei-Luet, South Sudan did not celebrate the day because they wanted to save expenses. Though rich in oil, it does not support the country's economy as oil prices are falling lately. Infrastructure has not been developed because they were too busy fighting each other. The international community called on the conflicting parties to refrain. Hopefully, leaders in South Sudan are not merely fulfilling their personal ambitions. Problems like these are often occur in the newly independent states, including in South Sudan. Just because of the warring leaders, the people are being sacrificed. Well, that was commentary today on True Peace Yet to Come in South Sudan. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Welcome back to Today in History. We start from an event. The first World Cup International Federation Football Association was held on July 13, 1930. World Cup International Football Federation, or FIFA, 1930 was the first world championship for men's national soccer team. This championship took place in Uruguay from 13 to July 30, 1930. FIFA chose Uruguay as the host because the Uruguayan national football team had successfully defended their football at the Summer Games in 1928. All games played in the Uruguayan capital, Montevideo. This World Cup is the only one competition without going through qualifying. The participating of teams was only implemented by invitation only. The whole 13 teams, 7 were from South America, 4 from Europe, and 2 from North America, participated in the tournament. Only a few European teams chose to participate due to the difficulty of traveling to South America. On July 13, 1949, Hatta Cabinet was ratified. Rumroyen was the agreement between Indonesia and the Netherlands. Syafruddin Prawiranegara, who was president of the emergency government of the Republic of Indonesia, formally ended the existence of the provisional government as the Republic of Indonesia. The emergency government of the Republic of Indonesia, also called the emergency cabinet, was the Indonesian administration during the December 22, 1948 to July 13, 1948 period, led by Syafruddin Prawiranegara. Shortly before, the current leader of Indonesia, Sukarno and Hatta, were arrested by the Netherlands on December 19, 1948. They had held a meeting and gave a mandate to Syafruddin Prawiranegara to form a provisional government. We end today's segment of Today in History with an event. DC-10 Garuda Indonesia aircraft crashed on July 14, 1996. Garuda Indonesia is an Indonesian national airline. On July 13, 1996, the DC-10 Garuda Indonesia plane crashed at Fukuoka Airport, Japan, shortly after took off and killing 3 passengers. Since June 2007, Garuda Airline, along with other Indonesian airlines, were banned to fly the European routes for safety reasons. However, the ban was lifted in 2009. A year before, the airline received an operational safety audit certification from the International Air Transport Association, IATA, means that Garuda Indonesia has entirely fulfilled the International Aviation Safety Standard. Garuda Airline included on the list of 4-star airline from Skytrax, which means it has a great performance and service. In 2012, Garuda Indonesia received award of Best International Airline among the world-class airlines, whereas 91% of passengers expressed great satisfaction with the service of the airline. Listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Welcome back to Void Green, today entitled Wildlife Area of Danau Pulau Besar and Pulau Bawah Become the National Park Area. The Wildlife Sanctuary Area, which is located in Siak Regency, Riau, will be turned into Emerald National Park. The youngest conservation forest have a variety of protected flora and fauna and natural scenery that appropriate to be a tourism destination. The inauguration of change the area into a national park is scheduled to be carried out by President Joko Widodo on the sidelines of commemoration of the World Environment Day on July 21st to 25th in Siak Regency, Riau. Earlier, Minister of Environment and Forestry Siti Nurbaya Bakar has issued a decision on May 4, 2016 about the change of wildlife reserve to be Emerald National Park with coverage area of 41,480 hectares. Prior to becoming a national park, the public more familiar with the name Pulau Besar and Pulau Bawah Wildlife Area, with an area of approximately 28,238 hectares, and Tasik Besar Serkap Production Forest Area, with 3,342 hectares. Meanwhile, from the Siak regional government views, the change of the region would encourage Siak Environment Region, which is often affected by forest fires. The region of Siak Samswar said, "The status change of the park is a regional initiative since 2001. In addition to protect the region, the local government can manage conservation areas from encroachment as well as land and forest fires." Secretary General of Environment and Forestry Ministry Bambang Hendroyono said in Jakarta that the ministry currently prioritizes the handling of the forest conservation in the ministry's performance. According to him, for the development and tourism promotion in the park, the ministry has conducted cooperation with the tourism ministry and local government. With the change of status of the area to be a national park, it is not allowed to be managed into a conservation forest. By turning into an Emerald National Park, the area, which is located in Siak Regency, is now managed by zoning, such as core zones, buffer zones, and cultivation zones that allows regional parties involved in its management. That was Void Green. Listener, welcome to News in Brief. The Indonesian government encourages the Malaysian and the Philippines government to make agreement on the standard operational procedure
of patrolship on the sea zone where the Philippines militant group Abu Sayyaf often operates. Indonesia and Malaysia are always affected by the kidnapping of the two country citizens, as this group always asks for ransom. Acting Chairman of the General Elections Commission Hadar Nafis Gumai said that the Commission will send a letter to the Indonesian President Joko Widodo regarding the vacant position of the Commission's Chairman following the death of the Chairman of the General Elections Commission, Husni Kamil Manik. Indonesian Ambassador to Egypt Halmi Fauzi encourages Indonesian university students in Egypt to unity as Indonesian citizens in Egypt. Halmi Fauzi reminded Indonesian university students in Egypt not stuck in primordial bond in Egypt like the era before Youth Pledge. Pertamina President Director Dwi Sucipto said Indonesia state-owned energy company Pertamina will sign a memorandum of understanding with the national Iranian oil company this month as part of its strategy to meet its lifting target by 2030. The Indonesian Agriculture Ministry's quarantine agency head, Banun Harpini, said that his institution and the Indian government were in the process of finalizing the quarantine protocol in relation to the buffalo meat importation plan to Indonesia. The Indonesian government will allow secondary cut beef import licenses to be more widely accessible following industry complaints regarding the government's earlier policy to only grant permission for 10 merchants to buy 23,200 secondary cuts from abroad. Indonesian Social Affairs Minister Kofifah Indar Parawansa said the migration of village residents to urban areas after the post-fasting festivities of Lebaran is a normal phenomenon. The post-Lebaran urbanization, Kofifah added, is in accordance with the push and pull theory, as homebound travelers from big cities to villages tell their success stories to villagers who are then encouraged to migrate to big cities. She clarified that it is all right to let people migrate and urbanization to happen as long as they have the capability and skills that they can use in cities. Listener, that was news in brief.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, is holding VOI International Quiz 2016 with the main prize, having a holiday in Indonesia. Indonesia, an amazing country, the world's largest archipelago country, where you can find a lot of wonderful things. Indonesia, a beautiful place with natural cultural diversity, along with its friendly people. All of this will impress you for good. Are you dreaming of visiting Indonesia? Make your dream come true by joining VOI International Quiz 2016. You may be the lucky one to visit the wonderful Indonesia for free. Answer these following questions. 1. What is the capital city of Indonesia? 2. What is your favorite program? 3. Tell us briefly what you know about Voice of Indonesia. Please send your answer along with your personal data, passport number, and expiry date of your passport to voiquiz2016@gmail.com. voiquiz2016@gmail.com before August 1st, 2016. Welcome to Indonesia.
You still tune to Voice of Indonesia, broadcasting daily from Jakarta on the frequencies of 9525 kHz. You can also listen through our radio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Listeners, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, it is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll invite you to South Sumatra. Stay tuned. Listeners, Indonesia is an archipelagic country. Its island in Indonesia has its own beauty. Take for example, Sumatra has many natural beautiful sceneries which attract domestic and foreign tourists. One of the regions which has many beautiful nature is South Sumatra. In South Sumatra, there are mountains worth being visited. Not only that, there is Onlo waterfall, which is also amazing. Because of that, waterfall becomes one of the main destinations of South Sumatra. One of them is Temam waterfall. Temam waterfall has shaped long and similar giant curtained. Because of that, many people call it as miniature form of Niagara waterfall. Water streaming of the waterfall comes from Temam River. Water of Temam River is still clean and free from trash. Because of that, you do not have to worry to apply water at this area. The Temam waterfall is different from waterfall in other regions in Indonesia, which are towering. This waterfall is formed naturally. It has long shape, long and around 25 meters high. At the Temam waterfall, there is unique stone which has formed crack and curve under waterfall. The stone is used by tourists for sitting while enjoying sensation of waterfall. The Temam waterfall is located at Rahma Village, Lubuk Linggau City, South Sumatra. The distance from Linggau City is around 11 kilometers. It takes around 30 minutes by using motor vehicles. There are two gateways to Rahma or Temam Village with good condition road. Temam waterfall is located around 50 meters from road which connects between Temam and Rahma Village. To go to Lubuk Linggau City takes around 6.5 hours by using motor vehicles from Palembang. The Temam waterfall has been managed by regional government of Lubuk Linggau City. The facility is complete at the waterfall complex, beginning from lodging, restaurant and restroom. For lodging, it can be found at Lubuk Linggau City, which is near from the Temam waterfall. If you are in South Sumatra, please set your time to visit this tourism object. Listeners, that was Indonesian Wonder for today featuring Temam waterfall in South Sumatra province. We meet again tomorrow with another topic. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Thank you for still being with us, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. If you have any suggestion or criticism, please drop us a line to Voice of Indonesia, PO Box 1157, Jakarta, Indonesia, or to our email address at english@voi.co.id. Listeners, now let's listen to our segment Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
How to speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a segment which invites you to learn Bahasa Indonesia. Today, we feature a topic entitled Menjemput Tamu, which in English means picking the guest up. Stay tuned. As usual, I will introduce you to the vocabulary and expressions that relate to today's topic of conversation. I'll say the sentence twice slowly, and you can repeat after me. Pesawat, pesawat, which means plane. Tiba, tiba, which means to arrive. Jam berapa, which means what time. Jadwal, jadwal, which means schedule. Jam 2 siang, jam 2 siang, which means 2 p.m. Waktu Indonesia Barat, waktu Indonesia Barat, which means West Indonesia time. Harus, harus, which means must be. Segera, segera, which means soon. Pintu kedatangan, which means arrival gate. Letak, letak, which means location. Bagian informasi, which means information division. Selamat siang, which means good afternoon. Ada yang bisa saya bantu? Ada yang bisa saya bantu, which means may I help you. Di sebelah timur, which means at the east side. Gedung, gedung, which means building. Terima kasih, which means thank you. Listener, now we give you an example of conversation entitled Menjemput Tamu, or in English means picking the guest up. The conversation is between A. Agus and B. Rudy and C. the officer. A. Agus. Rudy, pesawat dari Jogja tiba jam berapa? Rudy, pesawat dari Jogja tiba jam berapa? Which means, Rudy, when does the plane from Jogja arrives? B. Rudy, kalau dilihat dari jadwal, pesawat baru tiba jam 2 siang waktu Indonesia Barat. Kalau dilihat dari jadwal, pesawat baru tiba jam 2 siang waktu Indonesia Barat. Which means, according to the schedule, the plane will arrive at 2 p.m. West Indonesia time. A. Agus, kalau begitu, kita harus segera ke pintu kedatangan. Kalau begitu, kita harus segera ke pintu kedatangan. Which means, so we must go to the arrival gate. B. Rudy, baiklah, di mana letak pintu kedatangan? Baiklah, di mana letak pintu kedatangan? Which means, okay, where is the arrival gate? A. Agus, kita tanyakan saja ke bagian informasi. Kita tanyakan saja ke bagian informasi, which means we may ask the information section. B. Rudy, selamat siang. Selamat siang, which means good afternoon. C. the officer, selamat siang, ada yang bisa saya bantu?
Selamat siang, ada yang bisa saya bantu? Which means, good afternoon, may I help you? B. Rudy. Di manakah letak pintu kedatangan? Di manakah letak pintu kedatangan? Which means, where is the arrival gate? C. The officer. Di sebelah timur gedung ini. Di sebelah timur gedung ini, which means, at the east side of the building. A. Agus. Baiklah, terima kasih. Baiklah, terima kasih. Which means, alright, thank you. C. The officer. Terima kasih kembali. Terima kasih kembali. Which means, you're welcome. That was today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Hopefully, it can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. We'll see you again with a different topic. Thank you for your attention. See you again next week. Sampai jumpa.
Music Corner. Presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, welcome back to Music Corner, a special segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, both traditional and modern ones. In today's edition, we'll present you to an Indonesian female singer, the late Nike Ardila. Well, listener, before we go any further, let's listen to the first song entitled Bintang Kehidupan by Nike Ardila. Happy listening.
Baik sendiri, bukannya sekali.
The song Bintang Kehidupan is a song from the second album by Nike Ardila. The song tells about the story of a broken heart. However, the repeated failure does not make somebody despair, by always confident that one day the dream of happiness will come true. The song was composed by an Indonesian musician and composer, Dedi Dores. Nike Ardila's songs usually received a good response from Indonesian music lovers, but Bintang Kehidupan album has been sold out with a fantastic amount reached 2 million copies. The success brought Nike awarding best-selling album BASF Award in 1990 for the song Bintang Kehidupan. In the previous year, Nike's first album, entitled Seberkasinar, sold over 500,000 copies. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Seberkasinar. Happy listening and enjoy the song. The song Seberkah Sinar tells the story of the journey of love and life. Happiness is always a desire of every human being, like Seberkah Sinar, or a beam of light that can change everything. Listener Raden Rara Nike Ratnadila Kusnadi, or more popular with the name Nike Ardila, was a talent singer who has given color in the Indonesian music world. Although her career in the entertainment world relatively short, a series of achievements and appreciation of music have been achieved by Nike. The award are, among others, the Gold Prize Asian Songs Festival 1991, Best Indonesian Selling Album in Malaysia Music Award 1994, second runner-up Best Performer of ABU Golden Kite World Song Festival in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, 1994, and the first champion Hap Mi Pop Song in 1985. Nike Ardila died in Bandung in an accident on March 19, 1995, at the age of 19 years. Nike died while she was at the peak or at the top of popularity. A month before she died, her album entitled Sandiwara Cinta was released precisely in February 1995. However, her management still productively released Nike Ardila's album, similar with the previous album, but changing the cover. Another form of appreciation to Nike was awarded through a museum, which was located on Jalan Soekarno-Hatta, Bandung. All goods belonged to Nike Ardila stored there, including her clothes when the accident happened and a replica of her room. Well, listener, before we conclude our segment of Music Corner for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Tinggalkan Ku Sendiri and Sandiwara Cinta by Nike Ardila. Happy listening and sampai jumpa.
Tak berpisah, tinggallah diriku.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.